welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. This is Straight Talk on Blog Talk. Evidently, our show and Liberty Radio Live will not go on today because of technical difficulties. But we're going to try to do this half-hour show, and of course we will have a show on Freedomizer this afternoon at 3 o'clock Pacific time. This show will be about elements of the kingdom. We won't get into it in great depth. We were hoping to do that on the 2 hours on Liberty Radio Live, but that's not possible today. And next week, we're going to have a show probably that has a lot to do with banking and usury and the rights of the church and the rights of individuals. And we'll have a guest, Don Terry, for at least half of that show. And so we will keep that theme open along those lines for next week's show. And hopefully Radio Liberty Live will have things sorted out. There are several quotes in the Bible that we see certain words talking about bondage and elements of the world, and one of them is 2 Peter 2:19. We see the words, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought in bondage. We can read on in 3:12 of 2 Peter, and it says, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. That word elements there is a very misunderstood word. Yes, it is similar to a word found in the Greek language that was used in reference to atomic structure. That is not necessarily what that word is about at all in the biblical text, because it's used a number of different times throughout the biblical text, and we have a number of articles up on the web that go into this in a lot more detail. If you go to hisholychurch.org and you go to the outline page, which is found at /outline, it's actually /outline.php, but if you just type in the word outline after the hisholychurch.org, you will find that there's a couple of articles, this word elements, and you can also do a word search on any of our web pages just by pushing the little guy out there with his hand peering out into the distance, and you will be able to find articles on all sorts of biblical topics and topics that are important to the message of Christ. Christ said that we were to tend to the weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy, and faith. And we have a number of new articles and hundreds of older articles and books available that explain exactly what that meant to the early Christians. If you read in Galatians 4:3, it says, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. What are the elements of the world? Most people are completely oblivious to what they're talking about here. That word elements is translated elements these four times, rudiments twice, and principle. It means any first thing from which the others belonging to some series of composite whole take their rise, an element. First principle, the element rudiment, the origin of a thing. Elements of religious training or even the elements of a government. It's a word that we find in a number of different places in the Bible, and it comes from a word that actually has to do with walking or walking orderly. We see the word translated in Galatians 4:9, but now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, How turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereupon ye desire again to be in bondage? What is he talking about? Again, this word elements has to do with bondage. And that same exact word we see in other texts such as that 2 Peter, where he talks about this elements shall melt away in 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth shall and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up or consumed. Now we use the word elements or at least melt in relationship to melt down economies, melt down of moral integrity. That idea of melting doesn't always mean disintegrating. And a lot of people want to jump on the idea, well, this has to do with nuclear holocaust and that sort of thing, which it may or may not. It has to do with a number of different concepts, but the idea that it has to do with nuclear war is conjecture on the part of those people who are interpreting the Bible. It simply doesn't weigh out or measure out in the way that people would want to think in order to fit into their eschatology. So we see this elements of the world, and of course we've all had studies on the word world, four or five different words in the Greek that are translated into the single English word world. That particular word there, of course, is a constitutional, an apt or harmonious arrangement or constitutional order or government. That's what it means. And so when he's talking about the elements of the world, he's talking about the elements of a constitutional order or government. And he's also talking about, in the same sentence, these elements that bring you into bondage. So that's really important for us to comprehend when he's again talking in Galatians 4:9, the beggarly elements. He's again relating it to bondage. If we go into Corinthians, we can read it in 2:8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men. The word traditions there is actually also translated ordinances, after the rudiments of the world. Again, that's the elements of the world. Same exact Greek words here. It's translated rudiments of the world. In the other, in Galatians, it was the elements of the world. And that what they're talking about is the origins of this constitutional order or system of government, or at least the origins of you going into bondage under that world. And he's talking in Colossians 2:8 that beware lest any man spoil. I mean, that's like turn you into a spoil, turn you into merchandise, turn you into a human resource. You, through the philosophy, the ideas like socialism, vain deceit after a traditions of men, ordinances of men, after the elements of the constitutional order or system of government, and not after Christ. Well, so what is Christ? How did Christ differ from the Roman government? How does the kingdom of God differ from the Roman government? The Roman government was into forcing people to contribute to the welfare of the needy. It did it through all these things they called temples, which were just government buildings. But the rudiments of Christ did it through faith, hope, and charity. We see John the Baptist clearly explaining the difference between his baptism and the baptism of Roman sympathizers such as Herod. Herod, you'd signed up at the temple. Not only did he build the temple of Jerusalem, but he built the temple of Roma. a Roman temple, did the same job. It took care of the needy of society. That was religion. That's what religion was all about, to take care of the needy of society. It wasn't to make you feel good on Sunday or Sabbath. It was a way in which you could care for one another. And if you read the book, Thy Kingdom Comes, you'll see that the altars of Abraham and Moses were instituted to help take care of the needy of society, of your community, of your religious community, of your community bound together by that religion. The difference between Christ and the world was Christ depended on free will offerings, the perfect law of liberty, faith, hope, and charity, all these things we see over and over again mentioned. But until John the Baptist, everybody else tried to establish that by force, by getting you to sign up and compelling your offerings, compelling your sacrifice. This is what the Pharisees did, and Christ called that Corban, that sacrifice, a sacrifice that made the word of God to none effect. And so these are the elements of the world. Are they forcing the contribution of your neighbor to provide for your social welfare? That's the elements of the word. And that system will melt down. That system will fail. It failed in Rome under the beast. It will fail today under the image of the beast. That's a great study in itself. So Colossians 2:20 again says, wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments, elements of the world, again, same words, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Again, that same word, ordinances. You are subject to them because, as Peter said, through covetous, you would be made merchandise. You would be made this spoil. You would be spoiled through what? Here in Colossians, we see the word through philosophies, but in Peter, we talk about great swelling words, which are simply the way in which they present their philosophies. Oh, yes, we'll take care of all the needy through this government program, and we will provide for the funds out of the government treasury, and the government treasury will be built up by forcing the contributions of the people. You are giving too much power to men that will corrupt them. You should be ashamed of yourself for corrupting your government through your sloth. And that is why you are under tribute today. Now, you have to pay the tribute because that's where you put yourself. But you need to start gleaning in the field at night for your benefits. You need to start coming together as congregations, free assemblies, and the ways of the early church to provide for one another, because the elements of the world are about to melt down. And they will not be there for you anymore, for your parents, for your grandparents, for your children. We have gone so far away from the kingdom, it is unbelievable. That same word that we see as elements is also appears in Hebrews 5:12. For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracle of God, the prophets of God. And are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. So what's he talking about there? Need of milk and not strong meat. Now, I often tease the listeners that we're meat eaters here. We get down into the nitty-gritty. But we know there are many out there who are not going to understand these concepts right off, but they do understand love and charity. They do understand kindness and forgiveness. Well, those people are great, and those are kingdom seekers. They don't need to understand all the technicalities of this. If they understand love, they understand all. But they have to be doers of the word. And that's what we have. A lot of people who do this, always studying to understand these simple concepts, but never get around to doing them. They don't form congregations of record. They don't come together and assemble so that they can be there for one another. They say, well, why do we need an assembly? You need an assembly because other people need you. And unless you assemble, you won't know that they need you, and you won't be there to help them. You have to cross the road and go and help the man in the ditch. We had a little story go out on the network about someone who sells raw milk and seems to have gotten into trouble with the law. They're going to court over the issue because they think that they're in compliance and someone else thinks they're not. And, of course, that's why they go to court in order to resolve this dispute. But the reality, there really is no debate as to the fact that raw milk is way healthier for you than homogenized and pasteurized milk. And he's simply trying to provide a good and wholesome product and going to great lengths to do it in a good and reasonable way. And he is being thwarted by bureaucracy. That is actually, some of the laws are in place because of the bribery of the milk industry, who doesn't want the competition. The people who make lots of money by homogenizing and pasteurizing milk don't want people out there selling raw milk. And so they get certain laws lobbied in. You have any idea what lobbyists make? Some of them make over $700 an hour to be a lobbyist, because it's worth millions and millions of dollars if you get the right laws passed. And that's happened a great deal in all countries around the world. And it's because money talks. So anyway, we're reading here in this Hebrews 5:12, but let's go read just before that. We'll go up to 10. Called of God, a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And that should be a whole program in itself. Who is Melchizedek? A lot of people want to say it's Jesus. It doesn't really fit. It is a Christ personality that was in the Old Testament, and to tell you the truth, Melchizedek was Shem. That's who it was. He was the highest, he was the righteous king of peace, Salem. That's what the word means, peace. And they simply didn't translate it there, thinking it was the name of a place, and at that time in history, there was no place by that name. But he was the righteous king of peace, the righteous ruler of the world. And he was still alive at that time, according to Bible chronology. And that's who they were talking about. And he was a type of Christ at that time, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. So that's kind of chopping on them to even say that in Hebrews. But for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracle of God, and are become such as need milk and not of strong meat. So the elements of the kingdom is this milk, this love of one another. We need to do that. If we take that understanding and put it into action, then greater understanding will come to us. If we do not, we will lose all. It will be taken away from us, like the man with one talent who did nothing with it. And we will discuss that particular parable and what it meant next week when we discuss usury and banking and those things. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. We've already done the milk thing. If you want your congregation to grow, you have to start blessing one another with the milk of human kindness, with love and forgiveness. Don't get lost in the eschatology of your own creation. Get down to the basic nitty-gritty of helping one another. And then you will get to full age instead of just old. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Through use, we have to be doers of the word. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and the faith towards God, of the doctrines of baptism and of laying on of hands and a resurrection of the dead and the eternal judgment. Let's go back here to the other, the foundation of repentance, talking about works. You see, Rome was taking care of the needy. That was great works. But it was also the foundation of repentance because they were doing it with forced contributions. Herod was taking care of the needy, but they were doing it with forced contributions, forced sacrifices, which made them in need of repentance because that system makes the word of God to none effect. Socialism makes the word of God to none effect. You can't be following Christ and seeking socialism. So 2 Peter 3:10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away. That word heaven there, the vaulted expanse of the sky with all the things visible in it, everything from the sky above to the center of the earth. And so we think, oh my goodness, all that's going to pass away? Well, maybe. And there will be a great noise. The word there only appears once in the whole Bible that they translate into great noise. And it can have that. It's actually from a word that means a whir, a whirring. You know, he's actually talking about something here, but the element part that shall melt is that same element that brought you into bondage. It's the elements of the world. They shall melt. The planet's not going to melt. But there will be a change in the heavens. There was a change in the heavens at the great flood. That's when you started seeing rainbows. There's going to be a lot of other things, too. It talks about a fervent heat. That word, fervent heat, only appears twice in the whole Bible. It's, again, a very interesting word, which we won't have time to study right now. And even the word burned up, it has to do with consume. It's actually composed of two different words. One that does mean burned, but the other one has to do with according, and it brings us into the concept of a metaphor. But that gets a little too complicated for the time we have allotted. There is 2 Peter 3:12, looking for and hasting unto the coming day of God. The day of God, it says, wherein the heavens being on fire. And we've talked about what that means many times before. Shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Again, read the articles at hisholychurch.org on these elements of the world. And there's actually two articles that cover this topic, and we go into it in a little bit greater detail. You will maybe have your eyes opened up. But really, what you really want to know is the elements of the kingdom, because they won't melt. They won't fail. They won't break down. But you have to incorporate them into your heart. You have to let God incorporate them into your heart to have him write his laws upon your heart and upon your mind. And his laws include not coveting your neighbor's goods, but loving your neighbor and providing for the true needs of your neighbor so that you strengthen him and that you strengthen the society that is established by the faith in Christ. You know, when we talk about these things, it's very important that you eventually start implementing these concepts in your life. You don't want to be like the man who buries his talent. You can't just listen to the radio and listen to recordings. You have to start bringing these elements of the world and into check and bring the elements of the kingdom of God to the forefront of your life. This is a lesson that we all need to learn and to follow, and follow in very close and diligent adherence to these concepts. Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, that what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and goodliness, looking for that hasting coming of the day of God? So what manner of person should you be? Should you be isolated? Do you go to church to feel good or do good? The works that are of the wicked are the works where they do good by force. The works of God is they do good by choice. In order to do that, we must set our neighbors free to allow them to choose whether or not they will take care of us and provide for us in our time of need. And we need to take our time and provide for others as we would have them provide for us. And it has to be all done by free will offerings. And it cannot efficiently be done unless you come together in congregations of record. And this is one of the essential ingredients of being and seeking the kingdom of God.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.